Take your Bibles, and if you got an electronic one, that's cool too. Or we can go get some if you need some. But if you've got a Bible, we would encourage you to grab that Bible. And we're going to look at the last part of the story we started last week. I'll pick up a little bit of that in the story of Cornelius, his encounter with God. Touch a few things on that. Then I want to talk a little bit about Peter's encounter. And then we're going to dive into the first part of chapter 11 and kind of put, if you will, a capsule on all of that as we really kind of understand a little bit more of what God is doing. John alluded to it. This is the weekend that we celebrate in America, the 4th of July, Independence Day. We did it at the RMC a day early just because there's so much stuff going on tomorrow. And since we couldn't be in our normal meeting room, this was convenient and made it, convenient for us. We didn't have to go anywhere. I didn't have to load the car tonight. Jeff didn't have to greet at the door, although we missed that, wished he could have. But, God has a purpose and a reason and a plan. And I don't understand why. You know, it was raining just as we get ready to go, and then we come in and it's not. But so be it. God's in control. And the more I learn that I need to let go and let God do it, that's a good thing. One day I'll get there. I'm not there yet. But last week we looked at the story of Cornelius and his encounter. Remember we mentioned that he was a good man. The first part of the scripture tells us that he was a good man of good reputation. He did good things. He gave his alms. He gave money away. He provided for the needs of other people. He took care of those that had needs, and his family did the same thing. And they had a fear of God, but it wasn't a personal, intimate relationship with God, which is what's driven by that surrendering our lives to God, saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I need you to enter into my life. I need you to take control of my life. I need you to forgive me of my sins, and I need to encounter you in a personal way. And when we do that, that's the difference of being a born-again, God-fearing Christ follower and what we said last week as a good Christian. There are a lot of good people out there. A lot of good people who follow a whole different religion and a whole different belief system. And they're still good people. But what's missing is that ingredient of knowing Jesus as their Savior. And Cornelius hasn't got there yet. And he encounters that because the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, hey, I want you to go send for Peter. And Peter's going to come and he's going to explain this to you. And I'm kind of speeding up the story so we get to where we're going tonight. But as he comes to that place of realization, it's like that light bulb comes on. You ever done that before? And you look at something, you're going, man, I can't figure this out. And then all of a sudden the light bulb turns on and you go, oh, that's how you do it. So the other day, true story, I was downstairs in our keller working on our dryer. I had a guy come in who's a repairman, and he looked at it and he took the top off, and it was really simple. He says, oh, broken belt. And he did it in Deutsch. I had no clue what he was saying. All I knew is that, hey, the belt's broken. I figured that one out. I didn't have to translate because I could look at the inside of the dryer. But he did say it in Deutsch, and I said, oh, that's not good. And he goes, nein. And, you know, we determined that the belt was broken. I needed to replace it. So I ordered the new belt. And in the process of ordering the new belt, there was a time delay of about 4 days before he was going to be able to come back and put it on. And I'm kind of adventurous. I'm getting more hands-on and more do-it-yourself and, you know, Google it and watch YouTube enough times and maybe I can break it again. So I tried that. I YouTubed it. I Googled it. Yeah, sure enough, that's how you do it. So I put it all back together again. And then he calls me that night. I've, like, called him, like, 3 days. When you coming? He says, I can come over on Saturday. And I go, well, I have the dryer back together again and I think I fixed it. But the first load that I dried in there, I found out it didn't fix it. It was not on right. So he came over Saturday, yesterday, and as we're looking at it, we take it all back apart. And I could tell that I put the belt on the right way, but I didn't have this item called a tensioner on the right side of the belt. So the drum wasn't turning. It was still heating, but the clothes were just sitting there baking in the dryer. I should have done it in the oven. It would have been easier. But I had that aha moment. And just about the time he pushes on the motor and moves the belt, I go, boop, lights on. Got it. I figured it out. I could have done it. I should have just Googled one more time and YouTubed it, I guess, and maybe I could have. The point is that Cornelius is having one of those aha moments. The light comes on. He gets it. That there's something missing, But he's heard all of these rules and all these regulations and all of these things from the Jewish people from centuries and years and years and years. And he's doing these things and he's not even a Jewish believer. He's not even a Jew. But he's doing the right thing. And you know what? Sometimes we can do the right thing in life and we can choose to make the right choices and we can intentionally and deliberately do the right things, but we miss the mark. Romans 3:23 says it very clearly, for all have sinned and fallen short, have missed the mark. We don't make it in our own strength. We need Jesus in our lives. Okay, so that's Cornelius. Now, Peter, chapter 10. Peter is sitting there, remember, he's on the rooftop, he's hungry. Now we're not because we just did barbecue, but he's hungry. And he has a vision of the sheets being dropped down with animals in it. And the voice says, it is okay, it is clean, you may eat it. And I'm just like all over that. That's great for me because I like that. I like food. But Peter's going, I remember the laws and the rules. And these things are unclean. And the voice comes again. He says, no, what I have said to make clean is clean. Now go to Cornelius and share with him. And a lot of people will camp on that passage and say, well, that has to do with the very fact that you know, you can't eat meat with this and that. No, it has nothing to do with that. It was helping Peter understand that all of these rules and laws along the way that were so encumbering and so painful and difficult to keep, to be something that you needed to be, he couldn't do. And on top of that, he's now being sent by God to encounter Cornelius, a man that he shouldn't really have a whole lot to do with. And he breaks down the cultural barriers with this vision that Peter has. And Peter travels with these men that Cornelius sends, and he takes them there. And let's pick that up there as we begin in verse 11, because some things have happened, and we need to pick that up. Verse 1 of chapter 11, and the apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles, those who are not Jewish people, also had received the word of God, the gospel message that Christ died on the cross, that God loved you enough that he would pay the price of your sins, and that he would allow you to enter into a relationship with him. That's the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you no longer have to keep these laws and these rules and all of these things in order to have a relationship. Those rules have been fulfilled with the work that Jesus Christ did. And so in verse 2 of Acts 11, so when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. The Jewish believers who had followed in the traditions of the law criticized him. And look at this. He says, you went into the house of an uncircumcised man and you ate with them. You went into a home where you should not have gone as a Jew. And let alone that, then you ate with him. Now, I don't know about you, but it didn't bother me that we ate together tonight. It didn't bother me that we had this and we had that and you made that. And we just kind of put it all together. Thankfully, we didn't mix it all together. You know, that would have been nasty. But we had it, right? Imagine that you couldn't go into that person's home because the rules made it so. Now, there are rules. So for any of you kids listening going, well, then there should be no rules for me. No, there are rules because there are rules. And even as a believer in Jesus Christ, there are rules. The number one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. And then the second rule that we need to keep is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and the thing is that rules are important. So when you are told, no, that's not a person you need to spend time with, or that's not a show you need to watch, or that's not an activity you need to do, or that's not the language we need to use, and we don't even have to be kids to have people tell us that. We should know that even as adults. But as we do that, those rules are there as a guideline for us so that we do make good choices. Can you imagine if you... Well, let's take this example. Let's say that the rules for flying an airplane were not enforced, okay? Florina, you just arrived today on an airplane. How would it have felt if you knew that the pilots in that did not have to have any rules applying to them and they could just do whatever they wanted in the airport? You wouldn't get on, exactly. So you see, rules have boundaries and they have structure and they have purpose. But the problem is the law binds us up. It cramps us to where we can't do it. And these guys who are circumcised are saying, you broke the law. You broke the rules, Peter. And he's going, no, the law's been freed. I've been set free. And he encounters them in verse 4, and Peter began explaining everything to them precisely as it happened. Have you ever in your life explained something to somebody exactly the way it happened? I mean, to the letter, to the color. Lily's up here going, yes. Have you ever done that? You explained it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, probably like one of your dance recital things. You told mom and dad, I got to do this and a pirouette and whatever other things you got to do, right? Okay, and for those of us who have no clue what that stuff is, you're going, huh? Really? But there's a reason that you need to know all the details. Just like my dryer, I needed to know that belt needed to go on the other side of the tensioner pulley. Because it wasn't working. So there is importance to details. And Peter describes in full detail, in full explicit information to the other men who are going, you blew it. And Peter's going, no, I didn't. Listen, let me tell you the story. Let me tell you all of it. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from the heavens and by the four corners. And it came down where I was, and I looked into it and saw the four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the airs. And then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Now, a hunter would go ballistic on that, like, yeah, right on. We're going hunting, we're getting some wild boar, and that's what some of you might have that wild boar sauce. You know, we're getting down. This is fun. Okay? But that's not the reason he's doing it. Then he says, I replied, surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my lips. I don't want to be defiled. I want to be set apart for you. I want to be pure. And then look what he says. And he says, and the voice spoke from heaven, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, Peter describes. And then it was all pulled up into heaven. And right then, the men that Cornelius sent arrive at his door. They knock on the door and they enter in and they begin to tell them the story of what he needs to do. And all of a sudden, Peter's kind of starting to get that aha moment, you see? It's all starting to come together. But the men that he's describing this to, they're still scratching their head going, come on, dude, really? The law is this and you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. There's a reason. And he begins to explain it. And in verse 18, dropping down, and when they heard this, they had no further objections. And look at their response. They went from being critical and condemning and criticizing and hard on Peter. And look what they do. And they had no more objections and praised God, saying, so then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. You see, what happens is we have a tendency in our own life, in our own way of doing things, is oftentimes we have this tendency to think, that other person doesn't deserve all of God's grace and God's love on them. That person has wronged me and said this about me or said this to me, and there's no way in the world I'll ever forgive them for it because they don't deserve it. Now, don't raise your hand if you've ever said that, okay? Don't raise your hand and don't elbow the person next to you, okay? Because we don't want to point the fingers at anybody. But the reality is we've all done that. And this passage in chapter 10 and part of 11 here is the story of how God breaks down the cultural walls and the barriers. He breaks down the prejudices, and he also breaks down the law. And he says, hey, it's no longer doing this, this, and this, and this will get you something. It's doing this. Obedience in Jesus Christ gets you everything. You see, Jesus leaves nothing out when you come to him. He promises you. What? What does God promise you when you come to faith in Jesus Christ? What are some of the things that he's promised us from Scripture?
Eternal life with him.
What else?
Constant companionship.
The Holy Spirit is the seal, the covenant, and our agreement with God.
Unconditional love.
Anybody need that? That's a good thing. Because I'm sometimes pretty unlovely. Ask Julie. What?
Amen.
Forgiveness. Yeah. Forgiveness.
He won't ever leave us.
He says, I will never leave you or forget about you. I'm not going to leave you in the parking lot at Real and drive away and you don't know how to get home. That's a scary thought, isn't it?
That happened to you?
Okay, no, but I've had that dream a couple times. And I know God's not going to do that to me. What are other things that he gives you? What other things does God give you?
Jesus.
He gives you Jesus.
Peace.
Peace.
Understanding, wisdom.
Wisdom, discernment, understanding. He also gives us a couple other things. You ready for this? Trials and tribulations and tough times. He promises you those things, but remember, he'll go through them with you. But he also promises, hey, I've finished the law. You guys couldn't keep it. How many of you always obey the speed limit? Huh. All of you do? Jeff does? Good for you. Jeff, Bill does?
The unrestricted one.
The unrestricted, yeah, it's easy to obey the unrestricted one. Yeah, it's like 130, keeping going. No, I just, remember I told you a couple weeks ago I thought I got flashed by the little tax collector on the side of the road? I did. It's a great picture of me. You know, sunglasses on, you can't see my eyes. But I'm just like, yeah, we all break the laws. And Jesus came, if you will, to fulfill the law. Some say it this way, he came to abolish the law. I don't believe that the law is done. I still think we need to do those things. I still shouldn't covet. I still shouldn't steal. I shouldn't commit adultery. I shouldn't murder. Those are all still good. Those are all still things. But in myself, I can't do it. And not a one of us could. And Jesus came and he finished it. He completed it. He paid that price. And that's being offered now to the Gentiles. And the Jews are going, whoa, don't like that. They're Gentiles. They're not of us. And God says, hey, they deserve it just as much as you do. I've offered it to them. And Peter, being a Jew, takes that good news to Cornelius. And if you remember a couple chapters back, who did Philip take the good news to? Who did the Jew take the good news to on the middle in the desert?
The
Ethiopian eunuch.
Yeah, that guy.
Who had heard about God from the queen because it had been told to them. And then they knew of it, but they didn't know him. And he encounters God in the middle of the desert at a junction where intersection 1 and intersection 2 meet. And who happens to be there? Philip, powered by the Holy Spirit. And he shares with him. And the cultural barriers and boundaries begin to break down. But the other thing that's so crucial to understand in 10 and 11 is this fact. That when the barriers come down and a relationship is possible with Jesus Christ, it's only possible because of one thing. The freedom we find in Jesus Christ. Because you see, the law is what's tripping these guys up again. They're going back to the law and they're going, wait a minute. We're going to see in the next couple of weeks some of that thought process beginning to change for them. But it's so totally different to not live by the law, to not live by rules in that way. Because you see, that's how they were used to it. We don't deal with even the Samaritans, let alone Gentiles. And yet here, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, prompts Peter to go and deal with Cornelius, a government official, let alone a Gentile. And he goes to him, and those cultural barriers are broken down, and he encounters Jesus personally. But remember in chapter 10, when Peter goes to there, he opens the door, he goes into his house of Cornelius as he's brought in, and here's a whole group of family members and friends who are going to be introduced to Jesus too. And you see, when freedom rings, there's a sound to it that pierces the heart. And I think of it in this way. When you think, and I don't know how it is for you, when you envision the crucifixion, when Jesus, however it was done, depicted in the movie with Jesus, or called Jesus, or however it is in the Passion, and I believe they probably laid the crossbeams down, and Jesus' hands were stretched out. He stretched them out in obedience to the Father on your behalf and my behalf. And the freedom ring that I hear in my Christian life is that hammer striking that steel, hardened metal nail. That with every blow to that nail that pierced the skins of a perfect Savior is the freedom ring that I hear. It's that freedom that says, I will set you free and you will be free indeed. It's the epitome of all freedom. It's no more bondage and no more being held captive. It is set free. But sometimes what we do, unfortunately, what the guys did in the early part of chapter 11 is we return back to that bondage and we pick it back up and we say, but God, it's not enough. And we try and do something ourselves again and we can't. We can't do that. When you're given freedom, you're set free. When you're released from something, you're released from it. You ever watched a dog who's restricted by a 15-foot lead on a what we call a zip line? We had a Malamute. He was a massive, big dog. And I had him on a stainless steel zip line. It was about 40 feet of run that he had with 15 feet of lead that he could go. And he would just run up and down the thing, just wearing a path between those trees. And he loved it. And one day he broke free. And how he broke that lead, I'll never know. But I do remember the neighbor's dog would run behind my neighbor's pickup truck and he would chase the pickup truck down the street. And one day Comanche, which was my dog's name, the Malamute, came to the end of that zip line, crashed into the end of that zip line. That thing broke free and Comanche was free. Nothing was holding him back. You see, that's what we need to do with the fact that Jesus gives us freedom. When he says, I love you enough that I've paid the price, I've forgiven you as far as the east is from the west, and you can't ever get there. You jump on an airplane tomorrow, and if they fuel you up all night long, all day long, all whatever they have to do, and you keep setting that compass to go east to west, guess what? You're never going to get there. Because as soon as you think you're there in the far east, you're not, because now you got the Pacific, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going. Flight attendants will get tired of that flight. Because it never ends. And you see, that's how it is with Jesus. He forgives us of our sins. He sets us free from them. And we're like my dog Comanche, running free and taking off. Sadly for Comanche, that freedom didn't last more than about 20 feet. Because unfortunately, he had never followed behind my front neighbor's truck. And he found the rear tires. And it just broke his bones. And you see, he was inhibited then again. He was back to being restricted and in bondage. You see, that's what we do. It's when Jesus says, I've set you free, now be free. Bask in the glory of who Jesus is, the author and the perfecter and the finisher of my faith. And when the Hebrew writes, when that's written in Hebrews, we understand that it's the fullness of God that envelops us. And we're free of those things that bind us up, that hold us back. Those things can be a myriad of things. They can be rules. They can be emotions. They can be fear. They can be health issues. But you see, Jesus Christ came to set us free. He doesn't want us to return and pick them back up and try and carry them again. Because I guarantee you, when you try and do that, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't. Peter encounters these guys. They chew him out. What in the world are you thinking? And then at the end, as I love that verse at the end, he says, and when verse 18, and when they heard this, the whole report of what God was doing, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, God has granted, God has afforded, God has provided even the Gentiles repentance unto life. My prayer is that each one of us would find that place where freedom resonates within us. That we learn to no longer be slaves to the sins that hold us. That we no longer return to the garbage and the filth, but we are free of it. And we live in that reality that God did it for me. God did it for you. And as we commit to him, he continues to do it day after day. Because I guarantee you, as long as you can check your pulse, as long as you can hold a mirror up in front of your face and breathe into it and it steams up, you know what? You're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to choose wrong choices. You're still going to think wrong thoughts. You're still going to say wrong things. And those sins will be there. And you can go to Jesus and say, God, I'm sorry, I did it again. Jesus, would you forgive me? And you know what Jesus says? You got it. It's not a, you haven't done enough yet. Because you know what? You and I can't. We can't work up spiritual hairballs. You can't. You can't do enough. But his grace and his mercy And his forgiveness is enough. And as you think about that this week, and as you think about those people you come in contact with, maybe people that others would say, I can't have anything to do with them. That's not right. Chapter 10 and chapter 11 shows us that God broke down those walls. Chapter 10 and 11 really shows us that global missions is an important aspect. Because you see, Peter went to somebody that he should not have gone to by the laws, by the rules. But he went in obedience because of what Jesus said to do. Reach out, step out. It may be a little uncomfortable, might be a little difficult, but do it. Do it. And as you do it, you will see God meet you there and give you the strength and give you the support and the encouragement to do it. And as you do that, as you see that, you'll begin to see God continue to give you strength and work in your life and grow you. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are in control. That no matter what we say, no matter what we think, no matter what we do, no matter anything, Father, you are ultimately and completely in control. Lord, this week, would you use us as men and women and young people who could be used by you? And although sometimes, Lord, we think, oh, how could you ever use me? I don't get out, or I don't do these things, or I don't have this, or I don't have this ability or this talent. God, you've given each one of us our own unique tools, our own unique gifts, our own unique abilities that have been distinctly and perfectly given to us for your glory. I ask, Father, that you would use us in that way. That you would allow us, Holy Spirit, to rely on you for the power and the strength we need at the moment. When we say, I can't do this, Holy Spirit, would you empower us just as you did in the New Testament, just as you did in the book of Acts, where you fell on people and people spoke the truth and they did it because you led them. Empower us. Make us bold, make us lights, make us ambassadors for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to those that we meet, to those we encounter, to those that we live with, those that we work with. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.